Socks in the fridge, wet towels in the closet, and dirty underwear in the garage. Sometimes our spouses are messy, but that doesn't mean life has to be miserable. On today's classic edition of Family Talk, Dr. James Dobson interviews Sandra Felton on how not only to survive, but thrive in your relationship with a messy mate. That program begins right now.
Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind the clock back and enjoy the conclusion of a classic program featuring my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and the founder of Messies Anonymous, Sandra Felton. Sandra is a gifted speaker and accomplished author who has dedicated her life to creating unique ways to help people cope with messiness. As you can imagine, people who are organizationally challenged cause stress not only for themselves, but also for everyone around them. This can be especially deadly in a marriage, but before we get into the program, I want you to know about an opportunity that you don't want to miss. For every donation we receive through the month of August, we'll send you a copy of a book that my dad says has made a generation of boys and girls wishing they could find him in a blind alley somewhere. The book is titled Dare to Discipline, and for this month only, we'll send you that book and the corresponding DVD from our brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. Here now is Dr. James Dobson and Sandra Felton on today's classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Let's get some basic definitions out for the folks, because some people don't really know what we mean by a messy. This is not just someone who gets busy. This is someone who is really disorganized in their approach to life, isn't it?
Right. Oh, well, a lot of people, I guess everybody at some time or another, has a little touch of messiness in their life, just as everybody has a little touch of overeating every once in a while, you know. But not everybody has a food problem, and not everybody has a messy problem. But when we define a messy as a person who is chronically disorganized to such an extent that it bothers them significantly, and they've tried to stop, and they haven't been able to stop, and this has gone on for some time. So those are kind of the criteria we use. And by putting it that way, it sort of stayed, but in the vernacular, it's a person who's really disorganized, who hates it, and who can't seem to stop.
They don't necessarily like to live in a pig pen.
No, nobody who's sane wants to live like that. I mean, messies are wonderful people. Messies are frequently very creative people, frequently intelligent people, easygoing, fun to be with people. They are just, in my opinion, being a messy, I don't want to say this, you know, in a self-serving way, but many messies are really unusually talented and high-quality people. It's just that they have this weakness, and they don't like it. The people they live with don't like it, but it's a fact of their lives.
Well, that really leads us directly to the content of your book. We've been reviewing, really, to this point, but your new book is When You Live With a Messy. So this is coming from the point of view primarily of the spouse and the frustrations that they have, and how do you deal with a husband or wife who would like to do it better but can't seem to pull it off, who knows that he or she has a problem, can be a man or a woman. It really, I don't know if it's gender related, but I doubt it. I've seen both of them be pretty messy. How in the world do they approach this this flaw in temperament, if you want to call it that, without tearing up the marriage?
I think I offer the same advice you offer in your book, Love Must Be Tough, and that is that you need to step back in terms of 12-step programs. You need to detach from the problem, not from the person. And that may mean several things. What it first of all means is you quit trying to change the person. If you had a person who smoked, say for instance, and you knew that was bad for them, and it was bad for the people around, no matter how important it was to you, you could not stop that person from smoking if they really wanted to. So I recommend that people stop trying to change the person and concentrate instead on changing the house. The person who lives with a messy is tempted to whine, to beg, to threaten, to cajole, to do whatever, to try and get this house cleaned up. It will not do any good. If it does, all right, then you don't need my book. But in most cases, it will not.
It's very much like living with an overweight spouse.
Exactly.
You can nag the daylights out of them about what they eat, and it usually does not change anything.
That's right. In my book, I use an illustration I think has been used many times before about teaching a pig to sing. You don't want to try and teach a pig to sing because, in the first place, it won't work. In the second place, you'll look like an idiot. In the third place, it'll make the pig mad at you.
Let's turn to our audience with the time that's left. We promised yesterday that we would allow people to come and ask questions of Sandra. And give us your name and where you're from and your question about messies and cleanies.
Sandra, I'm Peggy Littleton from Colorado Springs. If we as parents see that some of our children, through their God-given bents or temperaments, are exhibiting behaviors of a messy, can we enable them in that messiness by going ahead and picking up after them rather than stopping it and nipping it in the bud there?
Well, I think it depends on what you do with the stuff you pick up. If you take it and put it back in there, in the drawer, in the closet, wherever it is, so that it'll be there when they want it again, then you are enabling them. But if you pick it up and tell them that they're going to have to pay a quarter to get it back again, then I think you're training them. So you can enable children, but I think you can also train them. I would not, however, let the stuff lie on the floor or nag until they pick it up. I think I would take a plan of action rather than a plan of talking. You can always talk first. If that works, then you don't have a problem. But if you do have a problem, I recommend the action plan.
Sandra, would you agree that in cases of adolescent rebellion where there is so much conflict and there's so many dangerous behaviors out there, including drugs and alcohol and sex and other things that you're worried about, that sometimes you have to decide what you're not going to fight about?
Yes.
And maybe the messiness that is in a bedroom where you can close the door and not harass the rest of the family is one of those things that you would just be prepared to choke it down and accept.
Absolutely. There's a door, and if as long as they keep the mess in their room, I would let it go. I had a friend talking to me the other day, and she was fussing at her child for the way his room was kept. And he said, "Mother, look, I'm on the honor roll. I do this, I do that, I do the other. What are you bothering me about the room for?" You know. And she said, "He was
good,
right.
Good question."
It was. It helped her get perspective on the thing, and he was right.
Okay. Next question.
Yes, my name is Debbie Stanford, and I'm from Woodland Park, Colorado. And my question is, my mother's home was what I would call country clean. It had minimal clutter, and it had some dust. It was always presentable. But I was raised about 75% of the time because my mother worked by an aunt who was a definite cleanie. And it's like these two people are at war all the time inside of me. Is it possible for you to be a little bit of each?
Yes, it certainly is. I think that's probably a good thing, to have a casual attitude when it's appropriate, and yet to be able to bring a higher level of cleanliness when you want to. I think that's the best of both worlds.
Sandra, you know, some people like not only disorder, but clutter in
yes.
their houses. They go on a vacation and come home with a piece of polished redwood that says Mammoth, California or something on it, you know, and they've got these things sitting all over the house. Yeah, that I like a house that is simple, and yet there are some people that just enjoy not only not putting things away, but just spreading this clutter all over the house.
I think that a lot of that is because some of us have very poor memories, and yet we're very sentimental. And so in order to keep the past alive, we keep it sitting around. And I think it's a compensation mechanism to try and solve a poor memory problem, and honor the fact that we have lived and that we have gone places.
There's a sentimentality about those things, and they want something to hold on to from each trip.
That's right.
Now, when you have a lot of that around, it doesn't take very much to shatter a house, does
I had a Coca-Cola bottle, which was one of these elongated type. They must, at fairs, put them in some heat and pull them out so that they're these long Coca-Cola bottles. And then they get the children to fill them with sand so that you have red and yellow and blue. My children did that. I put this in my living room. I kept it in. And when I went around, these were my children, you know, and this was the fair, and it was all wonderful. Except the unwonderful part was it was this ugly piece of junk sitting in my living room.
And nobody cared anything about
Nobody cared, and I didn't even notice it after a while. I could hardly believe when I went around reorganizing my house and getting rid of junk, this kind of thing that was there. Now, Messies like to take a lot of pictures to remember things. And I recommend that because they take up less room. But they can get out of hand, too. So that's a whole nother story.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Clark, and I live in Littleton, Colorado. Sandra, I'm not a messy, but I have a problem, a real hard time finding things. Now, it's especially after I have already organized my drawers and my closets, and so they're in a different place, and I just don't remember where I put things, and it could be the very next day. So is there a suggestion you have for me?
Yes. The lack of memory is a serious, can be a serious disorganizational problem. In your case, it seems like that you can remember it once you have left it there for a while. So until you remember where you've left it, I think it'd be a good idea when you put it away to make up 3x5 cards. Put them in any place that you can remember. And and put, you know, in the put down what's in each place, so that if you want to look for your letters from your mother or whatever it may be, you can simply look on the 3x5 cards and see where letters from mother are now stored.
I'm Cheryl Carey from Colorado Springs. I've been doing a study in our women's group on Proverbs, and we've looked at a lot of verses that talk about procrastination and laziness and things that are real issues. Would you look at the messy issue as possibly a sin issue in your life, in that it creates disharmony and these things? Is it something that you feel first you need to come before the Lord and confess to humble yourself? I don't know if you look at it as just a character flaw or if it really is something that needs to be dealt with the Lord in that way.
Well, that's a very interesting question, and one I've thought about a great deal. And I'm not sure I've come up with a definitive answer. But let me say, first of all, that I even hesitate sometimes to call it, for some people, a flaw. Because for some people, it's simply a lifestyle that does not work in our present society, but would not have been a problem in some other societies. You know, a messy who is creative and who saves too much might have been great in some society which was not a throwaway society. So I'm not sure that it's even a flaw, except that it doesn't work in our society, and so it's a flaw trying to work it here. Now, as to whether it's a sin or not, when you have a person who's struggling, as I struggled, to overcome it and failed, it's a little hard to say that. On the other hand, there is a point at which, if you are deliberately continuing this for some reason, either because you want to get back at your husband, he's mean to you, so you're going to teach him and leave the house like this, I think in that case it is. If it's a matter of being lazy, I think that's true. But sometimes what looks like laziness is not so much laziness as it is just not knowing what to do, or being so worn out from doing the little bit you did ineffectively that you just can't go on. You have to stop and regroup. So I think it's only the person can tell whether it's some deeper issue or whether they're just failing because it's a weakness of theirs or that just doesn't work in this society.
Sandra, you used the word deliberately there. For me, that's the key word in the relationship with the Lord. I'm no theologian, but I certainly do know what I believe theologically. And I think the point at which you have to get on your face before the Lord is when he's been talking to you about something and you've refused deliberately to respond to him. When it's become a willful thing, when it is an act of rebellion of one sort or another, rebellion against him or rebellion against a spouse, where there's some willful element to it. But I don't think you apologize to the Lord for the way he made you.
Yeah.
You know, he knows our temperament, and he knows what we came into the world with. And there are people with ADD and people whose approach to life is disorganized. God knows that. He made us. And I just say, when I come across those sorts of so-called flaws in my own character, I say, Lord, help me to do your will with the person that you made and not get too guilt-ridden over it. For me, there's a balance there somewhere.
Yes, let's suppose you have a person who has ADD, and who's which is attention deficit disorder for those who might not recognize the letters. And this person can try as hard as they want. But it's like trying to drive a car with the brakes on. Until you let the brakes off, you're not going to make much good progress. And for that person to be berating themselves is just to use their energy inappropriately.
I sure agree.
My name's Alice White, and I'm from Billings, Montana. And for years, my kids have called me a pack rat. But is a pack rat really a messy, or is... I keep telling them, well, I was raised in the Depression, and we had to save things, you know?
Well, it's a good thing the Depression came along, because otherwise, what would we be telling the people? But there are a lot of folks that are what you call pack rats. We don't use that kind of strong terminology ordinarily, who weren't raised in the Depression. Okay. And they're saying, well, it's because my parents were in the Depression. But to tell you the honest truth, I don't think the Depression has a whole lot to do with it. Although it may, let me say this. I find that there are occasions where people have experienced serious loss, that is perhaps the loss of a loved one or a husband or a wife or something, where their messiness comes on at that time, because once they have that great loss, then they tend to grab onto everything and not let it go. So sometimes that does precipitate messiness. But let's say that it was the Depression, okay? The question is not why. That's only a small issue. The question is now, do you want to change? If you don't want to change, then that's up to you. If you do want to change, then that, of course, is up to you as well. So it's not really a matter of why. I don't encourage people to spend much time on why. I encourage people to spend time on changing, if that's what they want to do. If a person is gonna keep stuff, let me recommend that you go through and modify a little bit if it's a problem. That is, of the 10 things, which two are the most important? And keep those two so that you can, you don't have to turn into Mrs. Neatnik, but you might want to modify by getting rid of some things. You can take pictures of the things you get rid of. You can also, if it's a coat that you you loved but has now moth-eaten, and you keep it around because it has some sentimental value, then take a picture of the coat. Cut out a little swatch of the coat. Put it in a scrapbook, and then get rid of the coat. The scrapbook takes a lot less room.
I went through my closet the other day, and if I hadn't worn something in 3 years, it was gone.
Well, that's good.
Even if I thought it was still wearable. But if I hadn't worn it in 3 years, I'm not going to wear it, and I gave it to somebody who could.
Well, if you don't want to get rid of it, and you haven't worn it in 3 years, I recommend you wear it that day, and then you can, in good conscience, keep it a little bit longer.
Don Riddell, Greenville, New Hampshire. Again, while my wife has gone to purchase all your books at the bookstore, I just wanted to say that one day she came to me and said that her mind was racing, and the day raced by, and she felt like she didn't do anything. And I said, well, honey, look at the kids. I said, what you're doing for those kids, it's like trying to watch a flower grow. You never know how it's going to turn out. But Lord willing, it's going to turn into a beautiful flower. And what's the sense in trying to look at it, watch it grow?
I certainly agree. If you have a choice between dusting the table legs and taking care of the children go first. On the other hand, in my case, my disorganization impacted negatively on my children. So sometimes there's that aspect of it as well. So, but the balance is for the kids, of course.
That's what makes parenting so tough, isn't it? Every one of them's different.
Yeah.
And there's no formula. All right, we'll make this the last one.
Hello, I'm Annette Meredith from Forsyth, Montana. And I have a question concerning ADD. My question first was, does this make him messy? But I'm just learning about this because I have a son who is very creative. He's an artist. And now he's beginning to believe that the reason he is because he has adult ADD. My question is, how can I help him find out what to do about this?
I'm so glad you asked that question. It's an extremely important question that deals with organization. If you have attention deficit disorder, sometimes that shows itself in serious disorganization, and you're unable to do very much about it because this is as an internal kind of a problem. There are different medical problems that come to the fore from time to time, and this seems to be a time when attention deficit disorder is getting a lot of press. But I think that in this one case, that it's going to touch a lot of people rightly, you know, that it really is a serious problem among many people and certainly among messies. And the proper treatment for attention deficit disorder may make that wife, I don't mean any particular wife, but may make somebody's wife who stays home all day and the husband comes home and the house is twice as bad as when he left, and she's worked hard all day and is exhausted. It may turn that person into someone who can control the situation. And they may say, you know, thank God that I found out what was wrong with me. And the husband will say, thank God you found out what was wrong with you. Because if you have it, there's not much way you can make progress until it's addressed.
Sandra, we did several programs on attention deficit disorder some time ago, and there was a tremendous response. And you're right, it is the disorder of today. These things are faddish, and they come and go. And at one period of time, everybody's talking about, I remember hypoglycemia.
Right.
It seemed like the whole world had hypoglycemia for a while. And there are people who are hypoglycemic. There are also people who have attention deficit disorder. And it would be wrong to say that this is all imaginary, because if you've ever had a child or been around a child who comes from that that kind of neurological problem and reflects it, then you know it is real. I do believe that anything that becomes faddish like that is like a net you've thrown out there that pulls in a lot of other people who would like to say, oh, this is why I am like I am. This is why I'm not responsible. This
right.
is why I'm not disciplined.
Right.
And sometimes that's an excuse. But I sure would hate to see, and some of our listeners do feel this way, that it's all phony, because it's not. I mean, I have seen it up close.
Well, the tricky part is when it's not accompanied by hyperactivity. When you have attention deficit disorder without hyperactivity, it goes undiagnosed. And especially with women. Adult women with attention deficit disorder without hyperactivity appear to be one thing when actually that might be the case. So I certainly recommend it, at least as a consideration.
There are child developmentalists. There are physicians who deal with adults. There are psychologists who are trained to identify this problem. And if you think you've got it, I think that was the nature of the question too. You need to consult a specialist who can help identify it and then show you what to do about it. Sandra, again, it's been a pleasure having you here. We've worked you pretty hard. I appreciate that. Thank you for being with us.
It's always a pleasure to be here, and certainly I'm always delighted to be able to reach out to people who are struggling with messiness, or in this case, with a messy spouse or someone else they love.
Well, I'm sure that you too, like me, have been encouraged and challenged by today's program. All of us can take away some principles for how to be more organized and, as a result, honor those around us. We've been enjoying the conclusion of a classic interview between my dad and Sandra Felton here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go, let me remind you of the special offer I mentioned at the top of the program. For every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of the book My Dad Swears Has Made an Entire Generation of Boys and Girls Wish They Could Run Into Him in a Blind Alley Somewhere. It's titled Dare to Discipline, and if you donate today, we'll send you not only the book, but the corresponding DVD from our Building a Family Legacy film series. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, give today by calling us at 877-732-6825 or click the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.